by special request from my buddy, Big John, I will preach from the chair. This is for you, John. If somebody would like to fetch that table for me, that'd be awesome. So I have a place to put my glasses and the water. That one. You can bring a subwoofer if you want to, but it'd be easier if you carry the table. Thank you, Kelly. Well, good morning. You know, Brent and Jimmy and Shelby, I guess, there are people preparing food, but Brent and Jimmy are out there cooking chicken swirls and the big green egg, so they do taste better, that thing, for some reason. And we'll have our fellowship dinner afterwards. There. Now, John, you can't leave. I just now sat in my chair, man. Oh, okay. You can come back. Okay. He just wanted to see if I'd sit in the chair. Then he was going to leave. Livy and I went to North Alabama yesterday, and these are, again, my glasses. They aren't really my former glasses. They're the glasses before my former glasses. So the prescription are really old, and man, I was cockeyed by the evening over driving and trying to see through those things. Well, Donna, you want to pray for me? Amen. Well, I hope that you're not got tired of hearing about faith, because that's still where we're at until we're supposed to stop. And I'm not sure when that's going to be yet. Just to remind some of you who may not have heard this, we'll post it this afternoon. I've got it ready. I just have to post it. A couple of weeks ago, the Lord gave me this word, and the word came as a result of reading about something about a guy, a skydiver, who's kind of like a daredevil skydiver. And they've been testing and practicing the equipment for months and months now. And he wants to skydive from 23 miles up, which is right on the edge of outer space. And he's going to travel at 760 miles an hour. And so it's a big story. And they were just talking about this man and the preparation for getting ready to do that. And his anticipation is that he'll be traveling so fast that he'll break the sound barrier. And in light of what we shared last week, and really sort of just adding one thing to the next and talking about walking in faith, and last week my real intention was to focus in on the fact that, having told Joshua that every place you put your foot, I've already given it to you, that there were daunting enemies in the natural he was going to be facing. If you read through the book of Joshua, you'll see that there are times when they really didn't dispose all the enemies from the land, and it cost them later as a result of it. Because some of them were stubborn. They were like strongholds, and they were resistant. They had like iron chariots and things like that. But the Lord told him, and he told him three times, be strong and courageous. And then he said again, be very courageous and strong. And he said, I'm with you. And we talked about the part of faith where I think as you grow in faith, grow in exercising faith, because faith just the size of a mustard seed will move a mountain. But it's as we add courage to our faith that we begin to see God do more and more extravagant expressions in our life and expressions of signs and wonders in our ministry. It takes a lot of courage to take off from an airplane 23 miles in air and to travel at 760 miles an hour. I can't imagine traveling 760 miles an hour 2 inches off the ground, much less 23 miles an hour space. But it must be cool and to break the sound barrier. And the word that the Lord gave me was this, is that He wants us to come to the place where we're able to break the sound barrier. And again, what I mean by that is that there's a sound barrier. There are things that God can speak to us because He knows we have faith for that. But there are other things that He won't speak to us because He knows we don't have faith for that. And the main reason that we don't is we don't have the courage. There's so much at risk. The possibility of, quote, dying in front of people is so heavy. And as I've thought about that word, I've thought about the men and women that I've known of or have read about or known personally who God used to do ridiculous kind of things. They were people who had courage. They would try anything, risk anything. And therefore, the Lord was willing to speak things to them because He knew they would believe Him for them. They would step out. And they would obey in obedience of faith and confess things that nobody else would. Therefore, their courage, their courageous faith, broke the sound barrier. There were things that God could speak. Because I've spent a lot of time in the last month saying, Lord, will I have the courage to hear You say to someone, get up and walk? If You even say it. There's a lot at risk if you do that. It's one thing for me to say to you guys and ask you, well, if you'll give me permission to fail, I'll go for it. And we see God's doing signs and wonders. That's really a walk of faith. But there are places that, you know, I'm just not sure I could hear God. Because I'm not willing to really risk at that level. And so I believe that's a word from God for the body of Christ. And again, the Lord's, and I hope you're not getting tired of hearing about faith because this is all very, very, very prophetic. It's like prophetic glue. The Lord's got pieces of His prophetic destiny for all of us and for the body of Christ. And we live in a strategic age and the pieces of the puzzle come together. And when we're moving in a prophetic flow, and I don't mean this any kind of boast, but when we're moving in a prophetic flow, pretty much all the ideas that God's given you are prophetic. And there's a real prophetic anointing on this church. This is a lighthouse church. And there are things God's saying to this church, small as we may be, little Bethlehem, there are things that God's birthing in this church that's being said and spoken out to the nations that help people put the pieces of the puzzle together of the prophetic destiny and what God's doing in our time. And so I just find in my own life that so many things going on like that. And this word that God's speaking to us about faith and really getting it down, what God is saying, is so significant if we're going to move into the places God wants us to move into. And are we going to fall on our faces? Yes. But again, remember what we said, and we kind of set the stage for this whole courage thing a while back. If you and I aren't willing to die in faith, we're never going to live by faith. And it says a lot about Old Testament saints that they died not receiving the promise. Now, they did receive the promise. When Jesus went into Sheol and preached, all their faith was vindicated and validated. But in the natural, it looks as if they were foolish. We've got to be willing to be foolish in the natural. Now, I'm not telling you to run around and make up stuff. You know, Bishop Adder shared a word at our noon service. The real issue is being able to hear God. But again, breaking the sound barrier means you can't hear God say what He's not willing to say. And He's not going to waste the time and speak things we know that we can't believe Him for or won't believe Him for. That's why He said to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Because it takes real courage to walk in faith that God's called us to walk in. It takes courage to walk in any kind of faith. You understand what I'm saying? It takes courage to go to anybody and speak something that's so, even though it isn't so. calling those things which are not as though they were, because you take the risk of falling on your face. But I'd rather follow my face in worshiping Him by faith than keep my face all the time, save face in the eyes of men and women. Amen? So I want to talk a little bit about the most courageous person I have ever heard about or read about or have known personally, because I know him personally, in terms of walking in faith. And use the word endurance, because endurance is about courageous faith. Endurance is about standing in there, persevering, no matter how long it takes, no matter what it looks like, till you see what you've believed God for in the natural. All righty? So I'm just going to share with you a little word again about the most courageous person I've ever known, and the person who's walked in the greatest amount of faith I've ever known personally or read anything about. And his name is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. And we looked at his walk of faith some a few months ago, but I want to see a totally different thing and tell this story. So I want you to hear it the way it's said. Let me actually start with Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Now the book of Hebrews are written to a people who are being severely persecuted by the people around them who weren't Christians. All right? Now listen to what it says. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, coming to Christ, you endured, there's that word, endurance, a great conflict of suffering. Partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations. They were persecuted and tortured even publicly. And partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully, now hear this word, you accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Now how could you do something like that? Because they not only tortured them and humiliated them publicly, they took everything they had away from them. You accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing something. You were able to do that because you knew something. Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. They were able to do it by faith. Because they knew that they possessed something, Jesus, an eternal life and the kingdom of heaven, which was more precious than anything that had been taken away. And how did they know that? By faith. See, faith, again, is knowing. It's not like guessing, hoping, wishing. You know. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, faith, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, standing in faith, doing God's will, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So he's talking about endurance. And if you'll stand endurance in faith, you'll eventually receive what's been promised. And he says, but don't shrink back, or my soul won't have any pleasure. Because it says in the next chapter, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then the last part of this, verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now, faith is the subject of things hoped for, and of things not seen, for it by faith men of old gained approval. By faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so what is seen was not made out of that's visible. How do we know that happened? People ask me, why do you believe in the creation? Don't you believe in evolution? No. Why do you believe in creation? I have faith. God said it. So I know it's true. Well, I can show you some arguments. No, you can't. When you know something, nothing you can argue can matter. Amen? So this whole chapter then is about people who walked in faith and did some of the simplest things by faith, which we'll talk about in the weeks to come. Okay? He talks about names of Moses, Rahab. Then when he gets to verse 32, just Gideon, Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. And all that by faith. How did Daniel, how did those lions' mouths get shut? By faith. By faith. Do you hear that? If you ever want to know, did God just do something? No, it happened by faith. God did it in response to his faith. Because God told him he was going to do that. Now, if he hadn't believed, that means that they'd have shut their mouth on Daniel. But God must have spoken it to him, and he believed it. And God did it. Some awesome stuff in here. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put armies, foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by destruction, others were tortured. How? By faith. How can you stand being tortured? By faith. Because faith, that's what? At its very core, faith appropriates, activates his ability. Not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. They had faith that they were going to be raised from the dead, so they were able to take the torture. When others were experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. How did they do all that? By faith. They were stoned by faith. They were sewn in two by faith. They were tempted by faith. They were put to death with a sword. They did it by faith. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Oh, you mean if you walk in faith, you're not always going to be rich? Everything's all going to be feel good? No. Faith is a victory. See, not having money, not excelling, not having position, that's not the victory. Faith is the victory. Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering around in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all these having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, which was what? The kingdom. The coming Messiah. But they did, though, didn't they? God did get the last laugh, didn't he? Now just put your situation. What have you gone through today? What did you go through this morning? What have you gone through the last few days? If you felt like you were destitute and afflicted and ill-treated, wandering around in desert, spiritual deserts and emotional deserts, then did you do it by faith? If you didn't, that's why you didn't have the victory. Because faith is the victory. They all gained approval through their faith. They didn't receive what was promised because God had provided something better for us. So that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Their faith was perfected through our experiencing of the church, the kingdom of God. It was a fulfillment of their faith. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, does that mean that the saints in heaven can be praying for us? I understand all that, but the witnesses are the testimony of all these folks. That's what the chapter says. Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses of men and women who lived and died by faith and brought pleasure to God, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. We talked about that some last week. We won't spend a lot of time on that. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. They endured. He said, now let us, therefore with such witnesses, let us run the race with endurance that's set before us. All of you have a race that's set before you. Paul says, let us run in such a way. How do you run in such a way? By faith. But the faith he's talking about here that we need, if we're going to, the kind of courageous faith, if we're going to finish and see God do all that he wants to do, so that God gets the last laugh, it says, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. The race has been set before you today. I don't know what all is going to involve in your day, but he does. It's been set before you. Now, we're either going to do it in faith, a faith that has endurance to us, with us, or we're not. Or we're going to live in sin. Because that which is not of faith is what? Sin. How am I doing? My introduction's taking longer than it should have. I'm a terrible introducer. But I'm so excited about this. Consider it all joy. This is James chapter 1. My brethren, now listen to this again. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when, not if it might happen, when you encounter various testings, trials, various. They come in different forms, don't they? Every day. And you will encounter, I'm going to give you a word from God. You want to walk in faith? Faith comes by hearing the word. Here's the word. You're going to have various trials come towards you this next week. And victory isn't not having trials. Victory is walking in faith in the midst of them. Enduring. And you endure by faith. You don't endure by gritting your teeth. That's the flesh. A lot of people do that. Gritting your teeth, holding on for dear life, counting to 10. No, you endure by faith. Or what you're doing is sin. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing, here's that word again, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. God's testing our faith to see if it's the genuine article. Because remember it says later in James that faith without works is dead, and because of the things that Abraham did, his faith was perfected. Faith is only perfected if we have enduring faith. Faith is only perfected if we finish by our acts and our confession. Faith is only perfected. We put teeth to it. You with me? And let endurance have its perfect result. Faith is made perfect through action. Action that endures. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete and lack in nothing. So you be mature and lack in nothing. So you'll get the things God's promised you. Now, so endurance and faith are really significant. Now, here's what he says. Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. And in case all these other examples I've given you don't encourage you, they aren't good enough example, let me give you the best one. Let us therefore fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's look at Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of faith. Now remember again, Theology 101. We did this at our clericus recently. We had a little theological forum, of which I led because Father Glenn couldn't do it. And we talked about the kenosis, the self-emptying of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. The self-emptying of Jesus theology is that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man all the time. One person with two natures. Trinity is three persons, one nature. Christ is one person, two natures. One nature is 100% God. One nature is 100% man. That's why we have two candles that we light. It tells and reminds us that Jesus is both God and man, 100%. Not 50-50, but I'm 100%, 100%. But kenosis says that he emptied himself of his right to live out his life on earth as deity. And he lived as the Son of Man, the second Adam, by faith. He lived spirit-filled to show us the example that Adam and Eve failed to show us, what it means to live by faith. You with me? That's what it means when it says he's the author and the perfecter of faith. So when I talk to you about Jesus walking by faith, don't use the excuse, yeah, but he was Jesus. He was the Son of God. I understand. But he chose to live as a man, spirit-filled. God doesn't need to be spirit-filled. But Jesus was spirit-filled. You hear me? God can't be seen yet. He said you can't see God anytime, but we saw it. They said they touched Jesus. God can't learn. Jesus learned obedience to the things he suffered. Right? God can't be tempted, but Jesus was tempted in every way just like us. And God can't die, but Jesus did. He laid down his right to live as God. And he performed his miracles by faith. Scripture makes that really clear. And so he says, let us run the race with endurance that's set before us. Let's live a life of faith that has courage and stamina. Let's not shrink back. Remember how this whole story started. Let's not be like those who shrink back. Faith has a great reward. Let's endure. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. So that, consider him, look at him, see what he did, the author and the perfecter of faith, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Because that's easy to do, isn't it? We're tempted to do that, isn't it? When things are overwhelming, they get difficult, they don't make sense of natural, we can't see anything supernatural, we can't see Christ, we forget we're in Christ, all we can see and feel and all that we're being told is just natural stuff, stuff in the natural, stuff in the flesh. Alrighty? And so he says, all these examples will help you. We have such a great cloud of witnesses, but the best one of all is Jesus. Because look what he endured. We're called to walk in enduring faith. The word endure means to remain under. It comes from two words, remain under. Again, not by gritting your teeth and holding on. The whole chapter, the whole section is about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's an enduring faith. Being able to stay up under a situation as long as it takes for fullness of time to come. So God can manifest the natural, what you're believing for. The endurance, being able to remain under by faith. Because our tendencies want to get out from under. But it says about Jesus that he endured the cross, verse 2. He despised the shame, and he went through shame. This is the Son of God. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He stepped out of eternity into time. He skydived from outer space. You know how he did it? By faith. And his dignity was stripped. As I've said to you before, we put a loincloth on them because it's culturally easier. But Jesus was crucified naked. His arms were stretched out. He was exposed to the world. He didn't just suffer physical stuff. Yet he did. None of us have suffered as much physically. But he also suffered emotionally. He was exposed to a lost and dying world and humiliated. They spat on him. They mocked him about prophesy who hit you. Sorry, my voice has got a tickle in it. The separation he went through with his father for those hours on the cross. Let's see if I can find it. Lord, help me. Hey, Brent, you're in just the right place. Hand me that little notebook right there. And I'll just look at it for a moment. Sorry. It's one of the things about teaching in a chair. Okay. I was close. Then he said to them, this is in the garden, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. This is as he faced what he was facing. So it's a very difficult and very painful place. And yet it says in this Hebrews passage that he endured the cross and he despised the shame. Despised it. He didn't let it get to him. He didn't let him alter the course. He despised the shame. He endured, verse 3, hostility by sinners. It wasn't like his peers were treating that way. It were people who were created to worship him that were mocking him and humiliating him. Besides, again, all the pain as he took on the sin of the world. Now, what would happen if Jesus hadn't endured? He'd have stepped down off the cross. And all the things that God had promised him, the Father, would happen, wouldn't have happened. You see, Jesus stepped out of eternity and time, and he had promises from his Father. You go back and you read Hebrews 10 again, some of the things it says. He was promised what? You'll be raised from the dead. You will sit at the right hand of my throne again. But when you do, you'll have redeemed mankind and won a bride for yourself for all of eternity. You would have set humans free. You would have set humanity free. You had created a whole new creation. God so loved the world. You would have set your bride free. Now, those are promises he was given. You'll be raised from the dead. It says in 2 Corinthians 13, he didn't even raise himself. The Father raised him from the dead because Jesus did everything by faith. He didn't raise himself from the dead. He would have stepped out of that place. He stayed in that position of dependence, utter dependence, but total confidence, abandonment and confidence. But if he had stepped down off that cross, which he could have at any time, he could have chosen to act out of his deity and taken over and said, enough is enough. As they were mocking him, playing dice at the foot of the cross as he was suffering and bleeding, he could have said, enough! How many of us would do that? How many of us have done that? Enough, no more. Boundaries. I'm drawing boundaries here, no more. But he didn't. Now, how do you do that? We said, he had such great love for us. I understand, but I imagine that was challenged and tested. Look what it says. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him. That's how he did all that. How did he endure? How did he despise the shame? Not only did the shame not get to him, he just despised it. He endured the hostility by sinners. How did he do all that? For the joy set before him. This author and perfecter of faith, the joy set before him. What was the joy set before him? The promises of God. All the redemptive things that were going to happen. One, the Father had promised him, I will raise you from the dead. And you will once again sit at my right hand by my throne. And we will have accomplished the redemption of our masterpiece. We would have set people free and rescue them from the devil. They've been in bondage to him since the garden. You will have accomplished all that. And so, yeah, Jesus endured the cross because of his great love for us. He endured the cross because he saw that he would win us for himself. He saw that the redemptive purposes would be accomplished. He saw his Father would be glorified. He saw that the enemy would be defeated. The usurper would be defeated. That even though he would go through a bruising in his heel, the head of the usurper would be bruised. And mankind would be freed up. And it says, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So how did he do all that? By faith. What did faith look like? It was the joy set before him. The joy of the promises of God, he kept constantly in front of him. And when they would stripe him and whip him, it was the joy set before him. And all that comes with that, you and me and our redemption, being raised from the dead, glory of God, things beyond what we know, you know, God making all things new. Making all things, you know what he said? I make all things new. He kept that in front of him. And he endured the cross. He kept the promises of God in front of him. It was the joy of the promises of God that he knew was going to be fulfilled. Now, did it feel like it? Did he agonize in his humanity? Did he cry out to God, oh, let this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, thy will be done, not my will. Did he have a battle? Yes. He was the author and the perfecter of faith, and so he also modeled for us what the warfare is like. Now, the warfare for us won't be near as intense as his, but it will feel like it to us. But none of those things, promises, would have been accomplished if Jesus hadn't had the courage to keep believing and endure. All of them would have gone to waste. And yet he kept the joy of it in front of him. That's how you and I walk in a faith that has endurance until we can see what's in front of us. That's the courage God's called us to walk in. Now there's the courage of hearing something ridiculous and going for it, but there's also courage to stand in something when a battle just keeps raging. And it doesn't seem to look like it's going to be, it doesn't make any sense. This is what I mean by dying in faith. You're going to walk in faith. We have to be willing to keep the joy. Because it's not like, oh, I'm looking for this future joy. It's substance. Remember? And I know I keep saying that. But that is probably one of the most important things that we've said in this whole series. It's substance. I got it. It's mine. And about me seeing it in the natural, it's just going to happen. But I got it. It's mine. And it's joy. If you got something, you're rejoicing over it. You're not waiting to rejoice over it. You're rejoicing over it now. And you keep that in front. I've got this. I'm despising it. I'm not going to pay attention to that. That's not the reality. This is reality. I got it. It's real. I'm celebrating. These people are redeemed. Are they redeemed yet? No. They're redeemed. The enemy's defeated. Was he defeated yet? No, but he's defeated. Every time they hit him, every time they spat on him, every time they mocked him, they're redeemed. They're set free. They're forgiven. They're released. They're ours again, Father. I'm sitting next to you. I'm risen from the dead. It's done. I got it. That's the joy. You're celebrating having it. And you don't let that get away from you. You set it before you. You hear what I'm saying? That's how you endure in faith. So God wants to know, will we endure? Some years ago, about May or June of the year, the Lord spoke a word to us about promises, passion, what was the other word? Perseverance. So you have all the passion in the world. People flame up and flame out all the time. Promises, passion for those promises, and a passion that perseveres. Now, I'm not so sure we passed that test. But you know who God is? God's a God of resurrection and redemption. And He says, here you go again. Here you go again. Faith is all about passion. Faith is all about joy. The joy of owning, having, and keeping that set before you until. Amen? That's what I love to teach about my hero, Jesus. And some of you are going through some tough stuff, and God's speaking some things to you. Just despise it. Just despise it. You keep the joy set in front of you. You got it. You own what God's given you. It's yours. Don't despise all the changes and the shifts and the winds. Don't be tossed to and fro by the circumstances that change here, change there, change this, change that. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. This is true not just for us. This is true about Selma. Selma Revival is here. We got it. It's true. It's real. It's water to swim in. We may only be seeing a little small bit of water, but we got water to swim in. The Lord spoke a word a few weeks ago, Epiphany, when Father Brent had that word. It's so supernaturally. We're going to see people come out of wheelchairs and crutches. Well, see, that's a done deal to me. I'm so pumped. I'm not waiting to celebrate that. People, I've been thinking about, what's it going to be like when it happens? It's already happened as far as I'm concerned. I already got the joy. My hope is that when it happens, I go, well, of course, I've been celebrating this for a long time. I've had that for a while. I just kept that joy in front of me so that I don't shrink back and stop believing, because God is working right now according to our faith. Isn't that awesome? Amen? Well, I love you. And I'm really excited about being on this journey with you. I have to tell you what, if you'll go for it, I won't care if you fall on your face some. We'll just learn to do this together. How about that? And won't be any shame to me if you fall on your face. If you flame out, burn up, skydiving 23 miles out, I'll be going, but man, at least they walked on water. That must have been cool. If you're going to go out skydiving 23 miles up. Don't die on the Lido deck. Fighting for the last piece of sugar-free apple pie with all the other old people who have just settled for the Lido deck for the rest of their life. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.